From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing part three of a message called Success in the Place of Failure. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Heaven is a place where we shall never sin, where we shall cease our constant watch against an indefatigable enemy, because there will be no tempter to ensnare our feet. There the wicked cease from troubling, and the weary are at rest. Heaven is the undefiled inheritance. It is the land of perfect holiness, and therefore of complete security. But do not the saints, even on earth, sometimes taste the joys of blissful security? The doctrine of God's word is that all who are in union with the Lamb are safe, that all the righteous shall hold on their way, that those who have committed their souls to the keeping of Christ shall find Him a faithful and immutable preserver. Sustained by such a doctrine, we can enjoy security even on earth. Not that high and glorious security which renders us free from every slip, but that holy security which arises from the sure promise of Jesus, that none who believe in Him shall ever perish, but shall be with Him where He is. Believer, let us often reflect with joy on the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and honor the faithfulness of our God by a holy confidence in Him. May our God bring home to you a sense of your safety in Christ Jesus. May He assure you that your name is graven on His hand, and whisper in your ear the promise, "Fear not, I am with thee." Look upon Him, the great surety of the covenant, as faithful and true, and therefore bound and engaged to present you, the weakest of the family, with all the chosen race before the throne of God. And in such a sweet contemplation, you will drink the juice of the spiced wine of the Lord's pomegranate, and taste the dainty fruits of paradise. You will have an antepast of the enjoyments which ravish the souls of the perfect saints above, if you can believe with unstaggering faith that faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it.
I wonder.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Using the example of Israel's defeat in their first attempt to take Ai, Dr. Cairns is seeking to show how the Lord is able to give victory where there has been defeat. To do so, he is focusing on the matter of personal restoration. Many believers have experienced the feeling that, after having fallen into some great sin, that their usefulness to God is over, that there is no way back. Yet the Bible teaches the very opposite, both in this passage and in many others. There is indeed a promise of victory in the place of defeat. However, for this to take place, the believer must take extreme measures in dealing with whatever sin has caused the defeat. There is no room for half-heartedness when seeking spiritual victory. Merely talking about victory is futile. There must be a daily, constant communion with God in His Word and in prayer. Then the believer must have a plan of battle. This involves knowing the enemy and seeking to weaken his strengths. Give no opportunity to the devil. Now to continue this message, success in the place of failure, here is Dr. Cairns.
To have victory in place of defeat is to go forward on the promises of God. And again, the way to gain that victory is by means of a full commitment to the goal of obtaining it. Verse 1 says, take all the people. You remember the spies had said, just take 3,000. But the Lord says, no, take the great bulk of the army. Take all the people. And out of that people, he actually for the assault took 30,000 trusted warriors. But bring all the people into this. Total commitment. And then in verse 26, we read Joshua drew not back his hand. Total commitment. Now let me make this very clear. Spiritual warfare, whether in the area of personal holiness or the area of public service, spiritual warfare is not a matter that can be pursued with half-heartedness. You remember that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You remember the Lord Jesus talked about the single-mindedness that holiness demands. In Matthew 5, 29 and 30, he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If that's what causes you to sin, you're better blind than using your eyes to sin. Extreme? Well, listen to the other side of it. Those who sin are damned. Not that Christians are sinless in their lives. That's not true. Their only perfection is in their Savior. But people who are living constantly in the practice of sin, Jesus said, will be cast into hell. The world of difference between a Christian who finds sin as an intrusion in his life and a sinner who finds holiness as a foreigner invading his territory. World of difference. Not only a world of difference, an eternity of difference. But Jesus says, if your eye is going to lead you to hell, you're better to be blind in life. This is extreme, but it's extremely right. He says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cast it from you. It's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Half-heartedness in this pursuit of spiritual victory should have no place in the life of any child of God. The words of Solomon were never truer than here. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Full commitment to the goal of victory. I think it was Horatius Bonner who spoke of spiritual revival. And he said it's easier to speak about revival than to set about revival. It's easier to speak about being prayerful than to set about the business of being prayerful. It's easier to speak about getting down to the study of the Scriptures than actually setting about it. It's easy to talk. And very often, you know, that the devil knows how foolish we are as creatures, how weak and stupid we are. And he knows quite well that if he can get us to the place where we're convicted about our failure, we're convicted about our sin, and so we start to talk about it. Now, this is what I need to do. I need to do this and this and this. My, suddenly we will feel a glow of great accomplishment. I have talked about being faithful in prayer. I have talked about getting into the Scriptures. I have talked about having nothing more to do with that temptation. I have talked about drawing a line in the sand and saying, no more of this. My, we feel such spiritual giants. Of course, we haven't done a thing yet. I haven't done a thing in the world. Over the years of talking to people in all sorts of circumstances, I have found that that is one of the most subtle ploys of the devil. That when people who are saved are faced with a sin, and they confess it, and they realize it needs to be put right, they realize that there's to be the pursuit of holiness, they draw out clearly grandiose schemes of what must be done. And then they are full of confidence that the battle's over, they have gotten the victory, and they haven't even been within earshot of the battle. I often tell those people, any fool can win a fight when there's no enemy. I've told you my fantasy life as a young fella. I used to look at all the pictures of the great American world champion boxers. Didn't look at too many British world champion boxers, I can tell you. We had one or two, but not too many. And I used to look at these pictures and poses, and I had the greatest imagination in the world. I could beat Joe Louis. I could fight Ezard Charles. I'm giving my age away now for some of you never heard of those characters. I could do them all. Wonderful. There wasn't a better shadow boxer in Ireland until I had to get into the ring one day and got a clout in the chin in a fight that I won. But that clout in the chin made me realize imagination and reality are two very different things. And as the gymnasium went round in circles and the stars came out at midday, I can tell you, I found out. Not the hard way. Thankfully, when the fellow did that, he was so scared that he had at last made contact that he ran away like a rabbit. If he hadn't, I don't know what would have happened. Spiritually, you know, that's exactly the way people are. They haven't been to the battle. Anybody can win a fight when there's no enemy. But when the foe is facing you, looking you right in the eye, and the smoke of battle's in your nose, it's a different thing. Half-heartedness has no place. Full commitment to the goal of personal victory. Bring this down to a very, very everyday level. I've talked to many people about this thing. You can never get victory. You can never live the life you're supposed to live without daily holding communion with God. Daily being in the Bible. And yet, many folk to whom I've spoken, they have come with their plans of what they're going to do, getting into Scripture, getting up in the morning to pray, getting alone with God. Then the next time I talk to them, well, no, I haven't been very diligent in the Scriptures. I've been too busy to pray. Let me tell you, you can never succeed in the Christian life with half-heartedness. Can I also say that it's clear here that victory in the place of failure calls for a prudent plan of campaign? Joshua had the promise of God, but that didn't mean to say that he didn't have to have a sound military strategy. He did. We can look at this and find the very same things are true of us as are true of Joshua. Number one, ascertain the will of God. And when you've got the will of God in any matter, go forward. Pursue it. Joshua knew it was the will of God to pursue victory at Ai. He went forward. Then, see how best the enemy's strength may be weakened. Joshua looked here at this city, and while the spies had despised it, obviously their estimation had been sadly wrong. If my reading of the text here is correct, in chapter 8 and verse 26, and I am glad to say that perhaps the best commentator on the book of Joshua agrees with me in this, so I'm sort of strengthened in my view of the text. There were 12,000 warriors from the city of Ai. It was no mean place after all. They had the help of the men of Bethel. Their defenses were strong. How best could they be weakened? That was the whole idea of the plan. And when Joshua had found that out from God, then he pursued it. How best can you weaken the force and the fury of temptation and sin that's against you? Let me make it clear. There is a sin that so easily besets different Christians. I think the sin that besets us all is the sin of unbelief, the sin of self. But there are things that would trip you up that would have little or no effect on me. There are things that would bring me to grief that may have little or no effect on you. You've got to know your enemy. You've got to know the strong points of the enemy's attack, and you have got to make sure that you weaken that attack. If your weakness is, say, booze, well, you don't put yourself in the company of other boozers. You do not put yourself in the environment where you're going to have alcohol plied all around you. If you do, you're going to fail. If the devil attacks you through lust and immorality, then you may well have to give up reading almost every daily newspaper, never mind watching television. If that happens to be your weakness, then you're going to have to take a very stringent stand. There's something more important than watching the latest TV show. There's something more important than having some of the newspapers that are thrown in to your home even. Something more important. What is it? It's personal holiness. Some of the things that pass for everyday life nowadays are so wicked. They're so immoral. They're so immodest. So immodest. They're unspeakable. I don't want to get off on a hobby horse, but I can tell you this determination of people to be free to express themselves and do what they think is right, or right for them, as they would say, is wreaking terrible havoc. Terrible havoc across the country. Women run around this city half naked, and then they wonder why rapes and attacks and assaults are at epidemic proportions. That does not excuse the attacker, but it does say that the women are crazy for not doing what they ought to do to weaken the assault or the possibility of it. Magazines and newspapers and radio and television are so explicit and so filthy and so rotten that they stir the basest passions of people who are already out of control. Now, God's people ought to be smarter than that. God's people ought to be spiritually more aware. God's people must make sure they know their enemy. And it doesn't matter whether it's booze or drugs or lust. It doesn't matter what it is. You've got to know your enemy. Take the steps that are going to weaken that assault.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.